Welcome to the Parents Place podcast with Hillary and Jen.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast. So we have a ask away question from a listener out there. And this is a great question because I feel like this is a question that many of you can probably relate to, and not only for your children, but maybe experiences that you had growing up as well, too. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how do I support my child who feels like they are being bullied at school? And that's always a hard one to answer. I know.
Why can't we all just be kind?
I think it's so hard because, like I said, I think it's something that's close to many of us because, I mean, I would assume that if you go through your entire schooling career as a child, preteen, teen, and never have this experience, you are probably a rare gem. Mm-hmm. Because I think most everyone, some degree, mm-hmm. probably experiences some form of bullying throughout their childhood. And it's never easy.
No, never.
And like you said, sometimes we just want to wring each other's necks and say, just be nice. Mm-hmm. Like, why do we have to act the way that we do sometimes?
It's because none of them have their prefrontal cortex. And they don't know how to do it properly.
And yeah, that probably plays a big part in it, and we could talk about that today. So so let's start, because I think one of the things that's a little tricky with the concept of bullying to begin with is that it is one of those words that gets thrown around quite often.
And I think understanding the difference between bullying and just kids not being nice.
Yeah.
For the day or whatnot.
Exactly.
Because bullying is consistent, everyday happening all the time. Uh-huh. And there's going to be days when kids just aren't nice to each other. Yes. I mean, it doesn't excuse it, but there is a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I do. I think the term bullying has become a term that we use so widely nowadays that it now is to the point where it's, I think we had this stage where we didn't address bullying, mm-hmm. and then we almost
overdid it, put it on a pedestal.
Not on a pedestal, that's not the right way to say it. But anyway, yes, we spent mm-hmm. too much of our time consumed having this discussion that I think we then overused the term bullying mm-hmm. and labeled every, you know, misbehavior, mm-hmm. whether they were big or small, as bullying. And now I think we're trying to pull back from that again mm-hmm. to an extent, but I still think oftentimes kids have a misconception as to what true bullying is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that that's important to understand because kids are kids and kids say dumb things mm-hmm. and kids don't always necessarily know what is appropriate socially. Mm-hmm. So,
and they don't think about consequences all the time.
No.
Especially when they're at that 10 and younger.
Yeah.
Because they don't think outside of the box. They don't see outside of themselves.
It's true. I remember, so you guys know that I have spoke about my daughter on this podcast quite a bit. But I remember when she first received her hearing aids. And that was one thing I really worried about with her. Mm-hmm. I worried about kids bullying her, kids saying mean things. And so we sat down, you know, her and I, and we also sat down as a family together. But one of the things that I talked to her about is I talked to her about how to respond when kids said things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I remember saying to her is I remember saying, sweetie, there's going to be kids that probably are going to ask you lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that questions are not mean.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of kids, this is probably the first time they've seen someone mm-hmm. with hearing aids before.
Especially a child.
Exactly. And so I said, for them to come up to you and to ask you about it and to maybe stare at it it doesn't necessarily mean that they're being mean. Mm-hmm. It means they're being curious. Mm-hmm. And I said, you can take those questions and you don't need to, you know, it doesn't need to cause offense, but it's more of, let me provide some education, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think so often, you know, kids, there's a blurred line between, like you said, kids being curious, mm-hmm. kids being kids, versus kids saying mean things. And I even remember, she had an experience early on where one of her classmates noticed that she had hearing aids, and he got right up to her face, like centimeters up to her face, and says, "You're wearing hearing aids," and then very loudly yelled, "Can you hear me?" And she looked at him with this look of, come on, buddy. What are you doing here? But her response was, "I'm wearing hearing aids. Of course I can hear you."
Oh, good for her.
But, you know, she could have taken that.
Oh, sure.
And been real offended and been real hurt by this child yelling in her face, you know, taking it as somebody that's being mean to me, mm-hmm. when it's really just a kid that doesn't have a knowledge base mm-hmm. about that yet.
What was I watching last night when I couldn't sleep? It was, it had to have been a TikTok or something, mm-hmm. but it was she was a doctor or something. And she was talking about how in kindergarten, we're so focused on the academic mm-hmm. that we forget about the social. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens with kids nowadays, is they don't have those social skills, that emotional intelligence to mm-hmm. be able to go up and talk to her nicely about mm-hmm. her hearing aids.
To be like, will you help me to understand what that is in your ear?
Yeah.
And how does that work? I mean, kids don't communicate mm-hmm. in that way. We as grown-ups can articulate our words and can create questions that sound more like that. But kids are like, huh, mm-hmm. what's that thing? Why are you wearing that?
Yeah.
You know? And so it can come across as sounding harsh mm-hmm. when really that's not the intention. And I think you bring up a good point as well when you talk about this social emotional intelligence, that I think so often kids just say it like it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they look at you and they're like, you're tall, you're short, mm-hmm. you're big, small.
It's not like, how can I say this in a nice way?
Exactly.
It's just like, what?
Yeah, and they don't mean it
no.
to cause harm. Mm-mm. They just, it to them, the world is very black and white. Mm-hmm. And so they see something, and they say it. Mm-hmm. And so I think, again, and I think, you know, that is normal developmental behavior. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably the first thing that we want to understand, is that when kids say those things, they're not doing that to cause offense. But also, I think as parents, we can help to train, mm-hmm. right? On both ends, you know?
Because I think your daughter responded in a way because you sat down with her prior mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of prepped her.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but if we also see our kids making those types of comments, you might want to pull them aside and be like, okay, sweetie, when you see someone and you see some of their physical appearance, we don't necessarily say out loud mm-hmm. that person is short. I think mm-hmm. they know that they're short, and there's nothing wrong with being short.
Or they're wearing glasses.
Exactly.
Or they...
exactly.
They know.
Exactly. So I think sometimes kids just don't necessarily... they haven't necessarily developed those social cues yet.
They don't have a filter yet.
Yeah. What is okay and mm-hmm. what's not okay to say. And I think that comes across to sounding mean, and then oftentimes mm-hmm. is put in that bullying category, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like another thing that we maybe need to do a little bit more coaching on as parents. And, you know, we used to talk about this in some of our children's educational programs, but just this difference between teasing versus bullying, mm-hmm. because I think that also there are varying degrees of teasing. You know, you mm-hmm. can have this kind, childlike teasing that I think we all engage in with our friends mm-hmm. or our siblings, and then you can have teasing that can maybe, you know, it starts to become, it starts to enter that gray area where that teasing could become potentially harmful, which I think oftentimes that teasing leads to bullying or can lead to bullying. But I think there's a lot of that friendly teasing that occurs between people that often gets lumped into that bullying category.
And especially when kids are starting to figure out sarcasm.
Yes, right?
And they're horrible at it. But they're trying to figure it out.
Exactly. Right? I mean, I look at my two. So my oldest, who is 14, and then my third child, who just turned 9. Here's their nicknames for each other. And they have a great relationship, those two. But my middle schooler refers to my daughter as Poo Poo Baby. And so in return, she calls him Diarrhea Baby. Those are their nicknames for one another. And she will walk in the door from school and he will say, "Hey, Poo Poo Baby." And she will respond back with a, "Hey, Diarrhea Baby." And I hear those terms about 10 times every single day.
Those are your children, Hillary.
Those terms of endearment, right?
Those are your kids.
But I think, you know, I think anyone else that enters our house is going to look at each other like, what did they just call each other? Is that okay? How come you're not stopping that?
Oh, my heavens. My husband still does it. Because my family has that little banter that is just unique to your family. Of talking about inappropriate things at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Like bathroom talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "Stop that, Jen." And I'm like, this is just how we talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so I think there is that. And friends have that as well.
Exactly. And I think you bring up a good point that many of us grow up in homes with that type of a setting where we have that fun teasing banter back and forth. But then there are some that don't grow up in those homes. And so you have those kids that become friends and that have these conversations. And so, you know, you can see how that could be seen as hurtful if you don't grow up in that home setting where you do have that banter back and forth, like many of us do. And so I think, you know, when those things happen, I, you know, like you said, coaching our kids and saying, "Hey, I don't think that person meant to hurt you by saying that. I don't think they meant to cause you harm. I think by using that name, that's just a nickname they use for you." And, you know, it's probably because you're their friend. You're close enough to them that they have a nickname for you, you know? And so I think helping kids recognize that there is a difference between that friendly teasing that occurs between all of us and malicious bullying behavior. So, however, I do think that it's powerful to help kids to understand that although we do engage in a lot of teasing as individuals, teasing definitely can go too far as well, too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think part of that coaching can also be helping kids to understand. Now, if you do have a friend that maybe has a name for you, has a nickname, has a label for you, that you don't necessarily appreciate, it's okay to let that person know, "Hey, I don't really like when you call me that. Can you stop doing that?" Because, you know, I think one thing that we want to continue to always teach our kids, regardless of the situation, is that they have the right and the power to speak up for themselves.
Absolutely.
So
I think on the flip side, though, also was parents helping our children understand maybe those social cues or body language when you do use something that is teasing and watching. How do you think they felt when you said that?
Yeah.
You know? Did they look like they thought it was funny? Did they, you know, laugh along with you? Or did they kind of close their eyes and kind of get sad? You know, and so teaching kids to recognize those body cues and body language so that they can say, "Oh, maybe that wasn't the greatest thing to say, and I can apologize." But it's on us as parents to do that because they don't have that really anymore in schools to where you're figuring and learning that out.
Yeah, so it's going to take us as role models to say, "Hey, when you said that to your sister, did you notice how she put her head down?" That might be a sign to you to help her to help you to understand that that word came across as being harsh. And so I like that. A lot of that's going to have to occur in our own homes.
Yeah. And I always am a fan of books. And when you're reading your kids' books, saying, how do you think that character felt when this was going on? I mean, there's a lot of teaching moments instead of just reading a book.
That's true. That reading children's books to kids opens up the door to, I think, conversations that would be hard to have otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's an easy, comfortable way to start that conversation with kids. So I appreciate that.
I don't want to discount bullying because there is that out there.
Yes.
And, but again, bullying is a consistent thing that is happening day after day after day. And it may increase in verbal or it may be physical, but it is on that consistent basis. And that's when it's not okay. It's just, there's no way of saying this is okay. It's not.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, like I said, I think that we as a society are starting to recognize the effects of bullying. And so I think a lot of schools have implemented their own bullying plans and are doing, I think for the most part, a great job of educating our students about, you know, the steps that they need to take if they see it. Not only if it's happening to them, but also if they see it occurring. I know that is a big push that we've had just recently in society is this not idea of the bystander, right? You know, that when it happens, what are we doing as those that are just watching? Are we allowing that to happen? Are we stepping away from the situation? Are we getting help?
Yeah.
What that can look like for us. So I do think that could probably be one of the first steps that parents may want to take if they do find that their child has a bully, particularly in a school setting, is to maybe go to that school personnel and say, okay, what's the bully policy here? What does that look like? And what are our kids being trained to do in this particular school setting? Because I think any time we can support the school system and we can back up what the kids have already been taught there in the school, the better off we're going to be.
No reason to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. And I'm assuming, making the assumption, at least I know for my children's schooling, that that's stuff that they probably learn early on in the school year. So that then the parents, pardon me, the teachers can reinforce it when they notice it.
Yeah. I remember doing a presentation in the middle schools, and I had taken it because they were having a problem with bullying. And I took them a story about a boy that, you know, didn't have the best hygiene. His jeans were too short. He came to school late and all of these things. And I had the kids close their eyes. And then I said, now what happens if that was you? How would you feel? And I said, so let's think about this boy who has all of these issues. What happens if his parents don't have enough money to wash his clothes every day? What happens if he, you know, they don't have the money to buy the shampoo or whatever all of the time? And you could just see those kids going, I never thought of it that way. And so I think sometimes helping kids understand that not all homes are the same. That some people have different circumstances that they have to live with. And sometimes it is, you know, they may have 9 kids and they're just passing down genes and this is what they can afford because they have 9 children. And helping them realize that, I think those kids, hopefully they went away from that day. I think in that moment, at least, it was like,
there's more to this picture than I realize, right? You know, and it's like we've mentioned already, the thing with kids is that, especially as they get to that stage of life, they're so egocentric, you know? Like, everything is about me, and the world revolves around me, and that's what I am thinking about at all times, and so to step out of their world and to be able to empathize with somebody else, right? And to connect with somebody else on a different level, I mean, that's a different social skill in and of itself. But I think even if we practiced that skill in that school only, I think that would not necessarily stop, but I think that would decrease bowling mm-hmm. by a huge extent.
Because you can also go on the other side of the bully and stop and think, ooh, what happens if this is how he was treated? He's mm-hmm. treated at home. Mm-hmm. This is the way he's learned to interact with mm-hmm. people. And so I say he, but it can be a he or a mm-hmm. she. And so letting them see both sides.
Yeah.
Because those kids who are bullies have to learn it from someone.
Yeah.
They don't just come up with this on their own. Mm-hmm. They've learned that this is the way they interact mm-hmm. with friends or yeah. people that are different from them.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, not an excuse. It's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's when we have a lot of teaching to do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the tricky thing with bullying, and obviously as parents, we are going to have to take this situation by situation, case mm-hmm. by case. But I think, depending on the severity level, I think we want to empower our kids. And I think we want to give them opportunities to resolve that problem on their own mm-hmm. before we step in and intervene, mm-hmm. depending on the situation, like mm-hmm. I said. But I think, you know, not getting along with someone, like you said, is one of those skills that's not going to go away once you graduate. No. You know, you're going to enter a workforce where you're not going to get along with people, and you're going to have neighbors that you don't mm-hmm. necessarily love, and you're going to, you know, throughout your entire life, you're going to have people that you're going to clash with. Mm-hmm. And so I think if this is just your kids being kids doing some teasing, kids doing some bugging and trying to get a reaction out of mm-hmm. the person that they're sitting next to, let's empower our kids by saying, okay, you know, let's come up with some solutions on how you could deal with this problem. And then I want you to work on that for the next day or two in school mm-hmm. and see if that resolves itself and come back and tell me how it goes. Because I think that should be our first step if it is some of this stage one, if you will, type yeah. bullying.
Yeah. It allows them to have successes and feel that empowerment of, I can do this the yeah. next time it happens.
Yeah.
It allows them to take responsibility for them, which we want them to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what we're doing, is raising children to become mm-hmm. responsible adults.
You know, and to be honest with you, oftentimes I think what we see when it comes to targets for bullying is we tend to see kids that are much more introverted, mm-hmm. Have a much harder time speaking up mm-hmm. For themselves. And so I think if you can teach that skill of assertiveness to kids, that you can speak up. Mm-hmm. If somebody says something you don't like, you let them know mm-hmm. that that's not okay. You let them know that they need to stop. You let them know that that word was hurtful. And so I think, you know, maybe start with that. Like, mm-hmm. let's teach you how to be assertive, and let's teach you how to resolve some of these basic conflicts. Mm-hmm. In hopes to maybe avoid some of those bigger conflicts.
Yes.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, if you are in the middle of a situation and maybe your child's safety is at risk.
Absolutely. Emotional or physical.
Yeah. I definitely think it's appropriate to intervene at that point. But I do also think that you still want to allow your child to take the reins there, mm-hmm. you know? Say to your child, hey, I know that you've been having a particular problem with a particular student. And I know you've tried to resolve it on your own, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to be honest, sometimes in life, even we as adults have problems that are too big for us to handle, mm-hmm. that we might need some additional support with. And so, you know, maybe turning the reins back to them and saying, you know, would it be okay if I spoke with some of the school personnel about this? Mm-hmm. Would you like to be there when I spoke with them about this? Because we want you to come up with some options and to brainstorm. So I want them to feel very much in the loop for what this plan is going to yeah. look like. Because again, I think that the more they are involved, the more empowered they're going to feel through this process.
And I think I agree with everything. But I also think of the side of the bully. I think we as parents, if we do have a child that is mm-hmm. bullying, mm-hmm. we need to take that seriously.
Yes.
And not just knock it off as kids are being kids, mm-hmm. But taking it seriously, listening to our school personnel, listening to those things, and really taking and putting something in action to change those behaviors.
Yeah.
Because I just think that's where it gets out of control, is when that bullying parent does not take it seriously.
Yeah. And I get it. It's really easy for parents to, you know, get, you know, it's our natural reaction as parents to defend our child, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to think the best of our child. So oftentimes the first reaction is to
my
say,
my child would not never
mine,
be
right? That would, that can't be the case. Mm-hmm. There's, and usually, to be honest, there usually are two sides to every story.
Sure.
And so I think that is a healthy approach, is to listen to both sides of those stories, mm-hmm. because you may find that there are things happening on both ends. Who knows? But I do. I also think that as parents, we need to be open enough and understanding enough to recognize that there may be some fault on my child. And as a parent, my job is to not only support them, but to educate them on when things need to be done differently.
I just watched a documentary, and this is an extreme case, but it was the parents not listening to the schools and not putting into action what was suggested. And then it ended up being a school shooting. But then they were charged themselves as parents because they provided all of this stuff, but then didn't do all of the helping of that child. And so I think we just, on both sides, we just need to teach, for crying out loud.
Well, that's just it. I feel like the common, like, trend here, the common thing that we're getting across is that we need to do a lot of practicing in our own home. We need to do a lot of practicing on what it, you know, like, what is and is not okay to say, how to respond in these different scenarios. If you have hurt somebody's feeling, how do you fix that? How do you make amends for that? And so I feel
siblings and can practice.
A lot of this goes back to what can we do in our own home here, right?
Yeah.
To raise capable, competent, like you said, socially aware children. And, you know, the thing with bullying, I think, oftentimes, and this is where it makes this such a hard situation, is that I think, you know, we wish that there was one way to resolve a bullying problem, but there's not necessarily. It's going to be a case-by-case, like I said, case-by-case scenario. So sometimes it might be as simple as ignoring that. And when the bully doesn't, you know, when you're not feeding into that bully, then it might resolve the problem. Maybe it just means avoiding that person. Maybe that means, you know, staying away from situations where you may be isolating yourself. Maybe that means speaking up for yourself. There's lots of different bullying tips and tactics that parents can
make
use.
Make sure you're playing with other kids on the playground.
Exactly.
If you don't have that, go hang out with, there's always a teacher. Or hang out by other kids.
Yes. And so I think that's the tricky thing with bullying behavior, is that there's not a one-size-fits-all, you know, answer to every problem. And I think that's why it's so important that you sit down with that school personnel to say, hey, do they have the ability to, you know, do this or this or this instead? Because they might be able to provide you with some different options that you wouldn't have otherwise thought.
Yeah.
So
I think that's, I don't know, at least for us here at the Family Place, that's one thing that I will always kind of fight for, is those social emotional skills classes. So look in your area and see if there is somewhere that is doing social emotional skills to help you. If you don't know how to teach them, go out and find somewhere that is. There's lots of places that are teaching those skills. Identifying feelings. I mean, especially now with a lot more places being trauma-informed and all of that, there's lots of options out there to help you teach your kids social-emotional skills.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming and listening today. I hope this has helped you. Remember just to take those moments of those teachable moments, be it watching television or reading books or with their siblings. There's lots of those teachable moments. I want to remind you to be kind and patient with yourself, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Parents Place podcast. If you would like to reach us, you can at parents@thefamilyplaceutah.org, or you can reach Jen on Facebook, jendaly-thefamilyplace. Please check out our show notes for any additional information. Our website is thefamilyplaceutah.org if you're interested in any of our upcoming virtual classes. We'd love to see you there.